Én cuprindem ezt a zaj, mert te samostani van tiszte dolgve hodnike, ne? Tom dolgy sa vráta pa tréra, ne? Én ezt prindem, tam prema, tam prema, ideš. Pa tom dolgy zagledam Madonna en ošva.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv. Siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črn pa to ne. Prav tista prava volk. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.
Одним из важных методов исследования является метод расспроса. Такие явления, как навязчивость, без расспроса нельзя установить. Послушайте рассказ о папье и тревожных сомнениях.
Я обсажен и для тебя ебашу, чтобы ты знал, какой андеграунд Раша. Я Калашников, парень обезбашенный, употребляю гаш, а как же? Меня зовут Витя, я простой, распиздяй от жизни парень холостой. Без заморочек всяких, ну нахуй надо. И так хватает со мной моя банда. Своры, кланы, котлы, объединяйтесь, юноши, девушки, совокупляйтесь. Ведь не зря за нас деды воевали. Взорвем за них, как они взрывали. Умом Россию не понять, это факт. Потому я автомат и доблю в такт. Охуевые МС, делайте соси. За это вам АК скажет мерси. Столько у меня планов, столько у меня планов. Было у меня как-то дежавю, что на этом месте я стою и курю. Столько у меня планов, столько у меня планов. Было у меня как-то дежавю, что на этом месте я стою и курю. Был бы я мажором, употреблял бы коко, а пока мне нелегко, то-то и оно. Поэтому я легкий, сильно себя не порчу, да и на 100% знаю, что хочу. Мне бы девочку такую, чтобы все умела, чтобы не обязан и всегда хотела. Автомобиль не броский, но литье большое, и чтобы дома хата аккуратная по фэншую. Доказать бы родакам, что не тряпкой вырос. В голове соперников пожизненно оставить наркоз. В чем тогда вопрос? Столько мест не изведал. Витя андеграунд мог бы быть хэви метал. Столько у меня планов, столько у меня планов. Было у меня как-то дежавю, что на этом месте я стою и курю. Столько у меня планов, столько у меня планов. Было у меня как-то дежавю, что на этом месте я стою и курю. Сколько можно говорить о том, какой я есть? На Урале АК поняли, что жесть. Изучали долго, изучали страстно, что в Березе с Йобургом жизнь моя прекрасна. Вот так и живу, Гену Букина смотрю, обязательно после того, как покурю. Столько у меня в планах, честно я скажу, но отделать нехуй, чинарик по стене вожу. Я предан своему делу, как немецкая овчарка. Если ты одной крови, успею как-то жарко. Раздуваю то, что считаю нужным. Главное, что Макс со мной, а остальное хуй с ним. Столько у меня планов, столько у меня планов. Было у меня как-то дежавю, что на этом месте я стою и курю. Столько у меня планов, столько у меня планов. Было у меня как-то дежавю, что на этом месте я стою и курю.
Я тогда трогаю за замок, его тяну. Не открывай, душка не открывайте. Я пробую, но этого мало. Я пробую еще душу, не открывайте. Этого мало, я снова душу смотрю. Пробую, не открывайте. Я вижу, что это ненормально. Это меня начинает волновать. Потливость вызывается, и такой делаю в порядке. И так далее, я тогда еще раз опять напрягаю все свои силы, тем, чтобы не было никакого здесь движения. Я снова это проверяю. И когда я проверил, убедился в том, что нет, мне надо быстро переключить.
Evropska unija in človekove pravice na vzhodu. V prvih treh tednih novega leta so se med osrednje teme svetovne politike ponovno uvrstile človekove pravice. Razlogi za to sicer segajo še v zadnje mesece, tedne in celo dneve preteklega leta. Prazna sedeža, kjer bi morala sedeti Nobelov nagrajenec za mir Liu Xiaobo in dobitnik nagrade Saharova za svobodo mišljenja Guillermo Farinas, sta bila zgolj še en dokaz tistega, na kar sta oba nesojena prejemnika omenjenih nagrad opozarjala. Nedemokratičnosti in avtoritarnosti oblasti ter kršenja človekovih pravic na Kubi in Kitajskem. Tak nravilisi mne, kde tvoje krilja, kadorje nravilisi mne, kde... Sledil je 19. december, datum predsedniških volitev v Belorusiji, ki niso dosegle mednarodnih standardov in katerih zmagovalec je bil znan že vnaprej. Aleksander Lukašenko je nov volilni triumf izkoristil tudi za vnovičen, brutalen in krval obračun z domačo opozicijo. Prav na predzadnji dan leta 30. decembra pa je rusko sodišče obsodilo nekdanjega lastnika naftnega giganta Jukos Mihajla Hodorkovskega na novo 7-letno zaporno kazen. Zahod je z obilo skeptičnosti spremljal že prvi proces proti Hodorkovskemu, saj je veliko indicev kazalo na politično motiviranost obtožb proti ruskemu tajkunu, ki je s finančno podporo opoziciji nedvomno prišel na vzkriž z najmočnejšim človekom v državi, takratnim predsednikom in sedanjim premijejem Vladimirjem Putinom. Vnovično sojenje Hodorkovskemu pa po mnenju zahodnih pravnih strokovnjakov predstavlja popolno farso, saj je bil ta še enkrat obsojen za isto kaznivo dejanje. Rusija je bila zaradi tega deležna številnih kritik iz tujine, najbolj ostre obsodbe na račun skorumpiranosti ruskega pravosodnega sistema je bilo slišati strani Združenih držav Amerike in Nemčije. Твои крылья, которые нравились мне, где твои крылья, которые нравились. Nezadovoljstvo z drugo obsodbo Hodorkovskega je za nove proteste izkoristila tudi ruska opozicija in številni njeni predstavniki so za krajši čas spet končali za zapahi. Ruska politična opozicija je sicer kronično šibka, notranje razdeljena in vključuje številne kontroverzne posameznike, ter kot taka aktualni oblasti ne predstavlja resne grožnje. Precej večji ugled v očeh Zahoda uživajo ruski neodvisni novinarji in nevladne organizacije, ki konstantno opozarjajo na nedemokratičnost ruske oblasti in številne kršitve človekovih pravic. Ena od teh organizacij je moskovska helsinška skupina, ustanovljena že leta 1976, ki jo vodi nekdanja sovjetska dizidentka in dolgoletna borka za človekove pravice Ljudmila Aleksejeva. Tudi ona je prepričana, da v ozadju procesa proti Hodorkovskemu stoji premije Vladimir Putin, ki v svojih rokah drži vse vzvode moči v državi.
Izrael iz a special case in Russia, it's an indicator how big is Mr. Putin's influence in Russia, not only in this case, but in general. If he saw a terrible sentence, I think it's very good proof he has such influence. In their mentality, they are very close, I mean Mr. Putin is very close to Soviet leaders, very close.
Evropa se je od prvotnih kritik vse bolj začela nagibati v smeri sankcij zoper oblasti v Minsku in Kremlju. Medtem ko sankcije zoper Lukašenkov režim ne bi bile nič novega, so pozivi k ukrepom zaradi nespoštovanja človekovih pravic in demokratičnih standardov zoper ruske oblasti veliko bolj odločen in morda presenetljiv korak. Med prvimi, ki je pozvala k temu, je bila evroposlanka iz Estonije Kristina Ojuland, sicer tudi članica pododbora Evropskega parlamenta za človekove pravice.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to clarify that this was just my opinion, which was raised by my colleague, Mr. Graham Watson, who was participating in this meeting, and this was just a proposal for a debate and discussion. Should European Parliament take different actions or activities in this field, and possibly to discuss also the sanctions that concerns the visa policy. And of course this idea has got quite broad ground in this house. And now, after 1 week, still the discussions on this matter are continuing, and of course we have to keep in mind that in the plenary in December in Strasbourg, we decided to support the idea that in principle European Union could introduce the visa ban against those high officials in Russian Federation who were involved in the death of Sergei Magnitsky. You know, the lawyer who was just taken to the death in the Russian prison 1 year ago. So this is some kind of parallel. The proposal has the idea, and keeping in mind the parallel with the proposal in Sergei Magnitsky's case. And as I said, this is now the matter of discussion and debate between the members of the European Parliament within different groups, working groups, and we are just following the developments in Russia since last 1 month, when all things starting from Khodorkovsky and Lebedev verdict ending up with the arrest of Nemtsov have taken place. So we simply follow now the case. And one more thing I'd like to tell you is that yesterday, when we had the plenary debate with President Manuel Barroso, then the leader of the ALDE group, Mr. Guy Verhofstadt, raised the issue in his question to President Barroso, the issue in general, the lack of rule of law in Russian Federation, a lack of fair trial and other things.
You mentioned support for your proposal among your MP colleagues, but are you aware of any reaction from the Office of High Representative for Foreign Affairs?
Yes, it's you see, it's we should take it very calmly. I mean that the proposal what was done last week takes some time in order to be realized, because as I said, it was just an idea which was put into the air, and now this idea, this proposal, is living its life here in the European Parliament, and it takes some time till it can be really concluded here on as proposal, which could be forwarded either to High Representative or Commission in general or Council. But it's too early to say now which kind of form this proposal will end up. But once again, we are working on this.
Do you think imposing sanctions against Russian officials is a probable scenario in the future in light of we all know close ties of Prime Minister Vladimir Putin with many Western European leaders?
Yeah, well, it's always predicting is not really the best way of dealing things, but I don't know yes or not. I can't answer it to you in the moment, but the only thing what I can do is to just recall that we as a European Union already have the experience of putting the visa sanctions against President Lukashenko. And as you may know, we are now reintroducing the visa ban against, again, President Lukashenko and the members of his regime, the high officials. We are just going to debate this issue this afternoon in the European Parliament. And next week, I guess that the European Commission will already take the concrete steps. Которые нравились мне, где твои крылья, которые нравились мне?
Evropski parlament je nato v četrtek izglasoval resolucijo, v kateri so pozvali k sankcijam zoper Aleksandra Lukašenka in visoke predstavnike oblasti v njegovi vladi. Poleg široke palete sankcij, resolucija napoveduje tudi različne spodbude in podporo za beloruske nevladne organizacije, neodvisne medije in tiste študente, ki so bili zaradi sodelovanja na opozicijskih demonstracijah izključeni iz beloruskih univerz. Več o resoluciji in predvidenih sankcijah nam je povedala Ojulandova.
But these sanctions are quite, first of all, they are wider than ever in the past, and I would say that they are more comprehensive than ever in the past. And the purpose of those sanctions is very clear, which is different from the sanctions what we know from the history. So the basic difference is that on the one hand, European Union wants to pose the sanctions very clearly and targeted way against the regime, Lukashenko's regime, what can be called illegal regime, a criminal regime or whatsoever. And at the same time, in parallel, the European Union is liberalizing and open up more, and also proposing, at least the Parliament is proposing, to increase the financial support to the NGOs, even those who are not registered officially in Belarus, because we know that they are not registered in purpose. And also there are proposals to increase to supporting the independent medias and also students who have been exmatriculated from the universities because of their political activities. So it's a quite comprehensive and pretty strong resolution what European Parliament is preparing to adopt tomorrow. And also, I forgot to tell that also this includes sanctions against regime not only concerning the visas but also concerning the economic sanctions, just freezing the bills or the bank accounts, what they may have in the European Union, and also their real estate. And at the same time also just freezing the loans from the international financial organizations.
Seveda se pri vsem tem postavlja vprašanje, kako bi izgledali tovrstni ukrepi zoper visoke uradnike takšne svetovne sile, kot je Rusija. Slednja je pomemben strateški in gospodarski partner Evropske unije in ohladitev odnosov med obema subjektoma bi lahko imela nepredvidljive posledice. Poleg tega ima Vladimir Putin, ne glede na njegov nedemokratičen in avtoritaren politični pedigre, med voditelji Evropske unije številne zaveznike, ki mu na nek način krijejo hrbet. Ali so sankcije zoper takšen režim s številnimi aduti v rokah sploh realne? O tem smo se pogovarjali z Grahamom Watsonom, tudi poslancem Evropskega parlamenta in članom pododbora za človekove pravice, ki se zavzema za načelno držo Evropske unije pri vprašanjih človekovih pravic, ne glede na to, na katero državo se to nanaša.
I think it's very difficult for the EU simply to let the matter rest without taking some kind of action. It's very clear to many of us that Mr. Putin has made a strategic mistake here. Many would have given him the benefit of the doubt on the first conviction and jail sentence for Mr. Khodorkovsky that the man had been involved in illegal business practices, even if many of us believed that the real reason was his financing of the Yabloko Liberal Party in Russia. But now, with what seems like a very personal campaign against him, Mr. Putin has made Mr. Khodorkovsky into some kind of human rights or political martyr. He's become a political prisoner. I think that's a mistake, and I believe that the European Union should do more than simply issue a declaration in order to make its displeasure expressed.
EU-Russia summit in December last year, at this summit, European side stressed importance of issues of human rights in future relations with Russia. Do you think this commitment should, or may I say, can go beyond economic interests that bond both subjects?
I think it has to go beyond economic interests, and I say that at least for this reason, that the Russians like to talk about a strategic partnership with the European Union. It's very hard to have a strategic partnership with a country which does not respect the rule of law, with a country where there is very little freedom of expression, very little freedom of the media, and a country whose values appear to be so very different from our own. We certainly need an economic relationship with Russia. We have an interest in buying things, particularly oil and gas, from Russia. They have an interest in buying things from us. But there is, of course, a much wider aspect to relations between the European Union and Russia, which is cultural and otherwise. And in that field, we can certainly make or take actions to express our disapproval of their treatment, not only of Mr. Khodorkovsky, but of the lawyer, Mr. Lebedev, who sought to defend him.
So you think EU should also suffer some kind of damage to its interests to preserve its stance on human rights issues?
I think, of course, there is the danger that if you get into the business of taking action, that there may be reprisals on the other side against you. What the European Union has found to be very effective in dealing with some countries has been to take measures aimed at the individuals involved rather than measures aimed at the country as a whole. One might take, for example, some of the prosecutors involved in Mr. Khodorkovsky's case and impose on them a ban from traveling within the European Union, impose perhaps a freeze on any assets that they hold in European Union banks. These targeted sanctions are often more effective than more blanket sanctions against a country.
Your Prime Minister, David Cameron, also received calls to cancel his scheduled visit to Russia as a sign of disagreement with politics of Russian government. On the other hand, Vladimir Putin still has many allies among leaders of EU states. Do you think former signal from them can affect his superior position in Russian politics?
I'm not sure whether it can affect his position in Russian politics, but it can certainly express opinions. Mr. Cameron has to choose between either cancelling the visit in order to express displeasure or perhaps going there and making a point of raising in every meeting the issue of the trial of Mr. Khodorkovsky and indeed other infringements of the values that we would like Russia to respect. For example, I think of the treatment of Mr. Magnitsky, for example. There are many areas where or many cases we can raise to express our concern for the deterioration of the situation of freedom and freedom of expression in what is, after all, a European country.
Do you think this kind of resolute act in addressing human rights issues worldwide should be extended to all countries with such a deficit, or is this kind of moral and coherent common foreign policy of EU possible today nowadays?
We already are taking measures against Mr. Gbagbo, the former president of the Ivory Coast, who has refused to stand down despite losing a democratic election. We have a regular mechanism for raising with the Chinese issues of human rights. We abhor the human rights record that they have in China, the way they treat people in their prisons and so on. And I believe that we should be consistent in our application of these policies. That is why we cannot allow Mr. Khodorkovsky's jailing and that of Mr. Lebedev and some of the other things that have happened simply to pass mentioned only in a press release from the European Union.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is that it is most of the time easier to condemn and impose stricter sanctions against weaker countries, or let's say regimes, than towards such a huge world power as it's China.
It is indeed, and the European Union has had to work very hard to find the right framework in which to raise with the Chinese authorities its concerns and in which to help as much as possible those seeking to promote freedom and democracy in China. We have a number of organizations working in China on these issues. We regularly raise the issues with the Chinese leadership. There is a regular human rights dialogue. As a result of this, we have seen some small improvements. And I believe it is important, whether the country you are dealing with is a large power like China or perhaps a very small African or Latin American country, it's important nonetheless to be consistent. And if the new foreign and security policy for the European Union, which arises from the Lisbon Treaty, is to have any credibility, then it will be credible for consistency and credible for a reflection of the European Union's values. Твои крылья, которые нравились мне. Где твои крылья, которые нравились мне?
Seveda je jasno, da si lahko Evropska unija pridobi verodostojnost pri izpostavljanju splošnih standardov človekovih pravic in državljanskih svoboščin zgolj s konsistentnim in nepreračunljivim odnosom do vseh držav, ki teh standardov ne dosegajo. Belorusija je tako zgolj neke vrste preizkus za odločnejše obravnavanje Rusije, nadaljni izzivi pa seveda vodijo še bolj na vzhod, do Kitajske. Ob tem ne gre pozabiti niti na situacijo znotraj lastnih meja oziroma na mejah Unije, ki v marsičem zahteva drugačno obravnavanje. Največja moralna verodostojnost je namreč mogoče doseči v prvi vrsti prav z doslednim odnosom pred lastnim pragom. Zeitgeist je pripravil Matej Š.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, ne pa te samostani, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne? donde ho lavorato per 3 anni. E ne sprintando per la famiglia. Patrono zagleda Madonna e non so.
Riz.
E vi palle, mlad, e tutti siu. Siu, ne ta nemški občan, črni patone. Prav tista prava govor. Krasno.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.